اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Several important conclusions follow from the fact that we are composed of body and soul. First, we are affected by what takes place in our body as well as in our soul. Both body and soul have powerful impulses and drives which affect each other and constantly seek to be satisfied. We must learn to control and direct these forces so that they serve our best interests. In themselves, these impulses and drives are not evil. They become the occasion of evil when we fail to control and regulate them. Second, we are capable of knowing what is right and wrong. Independent of all human law, certain human acts are of their very nature good and worthy of praise, others are bad and deserving of blame. By considering our purpose in life and our nature, we can know what these actions are. At the same time, Allah has given us an authoritative teaching, Islam, which infallibly defines right and wrong in the moral order. Third, we are responsible for our actions, because we have an intellect by which we can know what is right, and a free will by which we can choose, we are accountable for our actions. Although we cannot directly suppress our basic impulses and drives, we can learn to control and regulate them. For example, we cannot directly suppress the urge to eat pork, but we can refuse to act on this impulse. Furthermore, through experience we acquire a knowledge of what stimulates our various drives, and frequently we can avoid the stimulus. For instance, a couple may discover that some actions or displays of affection during courtship arouse feelings and desires which are difficult to control. They can do very little about this directly, but common sense tells them that they can avoid these actions which arouse them. We are men and women. The human nature which we have just described is manifested into sexes, male and female. We differ as men and women because we possess different, though complementary, generative systems. It follows that each has a different function in regard to the conception, birth, and rearing of children. This is the real meaning of the much obvious term sex. In other words, sex stands for the sum total of organic and functional differences which distinguish men from women. From the viewpoint of the individual, sex appears as a need for someone else alike, yet having the same nature, yet different because endowed with this complementary property of the opposite sex. Further, since we are a composite of body and soul, this property of sex affects our entire physical, psychic, and spiritual makeup. In marriage, men and women are complementary, yet they complete each other at all these levels of human activity. For this reason, marriage is unlike all other partnerships. As men and women, you differ in many ways, but it's precisely because you are different that you will have so many opportunities to assist and complete each other. Since you are in love, you wish to be together and to offer gifts to each other. In the lifelong companionship of marriage, you will be daily giving of your manliness and your womanliness gifts, which only you can give and receive.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
We are equal but different. According to the divine plan, as men and women, you are absolutely equal in your personal dignity as creatures of Allah and children of Adam and Eve. You are absolutely equal in relation to the final purpose of life, which is everlasting union with Allah in the happiness of heaven. However, you do differ in your relationship to reproduction and to all that is associated with this process. To be specific, how does this affect you as men and women? Woman is made for motherhood. Her development is centered around this function from the moment of conception in her mother's womb. Every organ of her body bears the stamp of her distinctive reproductive purpose. She differs from the man in the tempo of her growth and the rhythm of her life cycle, because she is composed of body and soul. Her emotional, intellectual, and spiritual activities tend to be distinctive of her sex. The man is made for fatherhood. He likewise develops according to his separate pattern on the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual levels. This development is related to the function he is to fulfill in the procreation and education of children. He develops differently from the woman, therefore, because his reproductive role is different. It follows that although you are equal as persons, you are not identical. Much of the modern confusion concerning the equality of the sexes could be avoided if this distinction were kept in mind. Further, the development of sex according to the distinctive pattern of maleness and femaleness goes on in the life cycle of each of us, whether we choose to use our reproductive faculties or not. At the same time, the sex drive will manifest itself in some form in all normal individuals. Finally, all normal adults are capable of reacting to appropriate sexual stimulation in some degree. We attach meanings to things. Because we are rational beings, we interpret and read meanings into things. In a sense, nothing that intimately affects us is viewed neutrally or with cold objectivity. We attach meanings to things, and this changes the way we look at them. For example, male and female differences, together with the various expressions of the sexual drive, are never viewed indifferently by us as they apparently are among animals. Rather, we attach significance to them, and they will be regulated and controlled according to the meaning which they have for us. Our ability to read meanings into things and thus to change our relationship to them merits attention because it shows how and to what extent we can regulate our sexual impulses. Many modern writers imply that sexual control is unnatural or unhealthy. This is utter nonsense. People have always exercised control over sex, but the nature and extent of this regulation and control has depended upon the meaning which they gave to the function of sex itself.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Since Islam maintains that the primary purpose of the generative faculties is reproduction, it has always prohibited the deliberate exercise of this drive outside of marriage. 15 centuries of experience demonstrate that this form of control is possible, natural, and healthy. It's primarily because many moderns look upon man as merely a highly developed animal that they can consider this control to be impossible or unnatural. In other words, they give a different meaning to sex than we do. We are social beings. Another characteristic of our nature is its social quality. We are social beings by nature. This means that our capacity for love, sympathy, understanding, the communication of ideas, and so on can be developed and used in a satisfactory manner only through cooperation with others. In short, we are so constituted that we need society and association with others in order to lead a full life. Here, there, as rational creatures, we are capable of love and of communicating goodness to others. It should be obvious how perfectly this social aspect of your nature will find expression in marriage. Here, your capacity for love, sympathy, understanding, and communication, together with your mutual reproductive incompleteness, will find fulfillment in a unique union which makes you two in one flesh. We are elevated by grace. Finally, our nature is capable of being elevated to a supernatural state. When Allah created man, He endowed human nature with a higher kind of life, a supernatural one. It's our supreme privilege and duty to protect, foster, and develop this spiritual life within us by avoiding evil and doing good. Through the sacrament of marriage, you will receive the special spiritual helps and graces which you need to reach perfection as husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. Our goal is paradise. We have considered where we came from and what we are. Now we want to know where we are supposed to be going. Briefly, we are created for an eternal life in paradise. The purpose of our earthly life is to love, honor, and serve Allah in this world so as to be happy forever with Him in the next. How do we serve Allah? By fulfilling our role or vocation in life to the best of our ability and in accordance with the divine plan made known to us through the Islamic teachings. For all men of every condition and in whatever honorable walk of life they may be, can and ought to imitate that most perfect example of holiness placed before men by Allah, namely the Holy Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and by God's grace to arrive at the summit of perfection, as is proved by the example of His saint progeny and righteous believers.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.